At the moment, we are in the middle of, or somewhere in, Matthew chapters 5 to 7. This is a section. This is a section of our Lord's teaching, and it's usually called the Sermon on the Mount. So here we are, we're looking at our Lord's teaching, and we remember that, first of all, he was teaching his disciples, and he was doing that to prepare them that they might go out and teach others what he wanted them to teach them. So he's preparing his disciples. But Matthew just mentions and reminds us that there were also multitudes who were, overhearing what Jesus was teaching his disciples. It wasn't a closed school in a schoolroom with the door shut. It was out on the hillside, and they were sat with him, but there were crowds overhearing. And the thing is, the crowds were finding Jesus' teaching very exciting. I think they were astonished, the word says, they were astonished. And it says this at the end of this sermon, when he finished, it says, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And Mark tells us in his gospel that on one occasion, or maybe more than one occasion, when the people heard him and saw what he was doing, they asked this, what is this new doctrine? What is this new doctrine? And I think you can see, can't you, that the people who overheard him, they were saying, what Jesus is teaching is different from what we've had before. And you see, one really vital question that comes out of this is this question. Is the teaching of Jesus new? That's the question. Is it new? They would say, he is teaching in a different way and so on. But is his teaching new? That's the question. And you might say, well, we could put it a slightly different way. Maybe they were saying, well, where does this fit in to what we have already received? They've been listening to the scribes and Pharisees for hundreds of years. We know their names, Simeon the Just, Hillel the Elder, Shammai the Elder, even Gamaliel, who's mentioned in the New Testament. They've been listening to these men through the generations. But now, the question, now that Jesus had come, and remember they called him rabbi or teacher, the question was, is his teaching new? And can you see, if you have your Bibles open, don't worry if you don't, but right at the beginning of verse 17, the first thing he says to them is, do not think. Do not think. Do you know why he said that? Because he knew what they were thinking. And what were they thinking? They were thinking exactly what he tells them not to think. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. That's what they were thinking. And maybe they were glad, relieved. We have something new. Away with the law and away with the prophets. And I want to stay with this. You know, this is a very important question for us today. Make no mistake about it. It's absolutely critical to the Christian life. So, Jesus says to them, don't think. Don't think like that. Don't imagine. I think lots of people had lots of ideas about why he'd come. You know, some of them thought he'd come to overthrow the Romans. And so it went on. But now he's addressing, there's a mistake. You're making a mistake in your minds. Don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, I think you know what he means by the law, and you know what he means by the prophets. What is the law? What does he have in mind here? He has the first five books of the Bible. This is called the Law. It was delivered to them from God through Moses on Mount Sinai or Horeb. Two names, same place. Right. This is what Moses gave them. This was the first scripture that they had. They'd had it since they came out of Egypt. Those five books. And you know, don't you, that in those five books, there was God's commandments how to live. In one sense, it's summed up in the Ten Commandments. You know, most of us probably know the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet what your neighbor has. There are these great commandments. God is commanding his people. This is the right way. And then alongside that, there are lots of instructions about how to worship God. It's all there and much more in the law of Moses. There it is. And they've been hearing this law of Moses read to them in the synagogues and in the temple all their lives. All their lives. And they were questioning now, well, will Jesus Christ, this new rabbi, will he get rid of Moses? Will he do away with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Will he take away the Ten Commandments? Will he get rid of all that? Don't think that I've come to abolish the law, says Christ. But then, what about the prophets? Well, you know who the prophets were. And we know of Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and many others. And some of them wrote down what they said. Isaiah, Jeremiah. But what were the prophets doing? They were all doing the same thing. They were calling disobedient God's people, disobedient Israel, calling them back to the law. Listen to these words in Isaiah chapter 8. This is Isaiah preaching. He says to them, to the law and to the testimony. If anyone speaks not according to this word, that's not from God. To the law and to the testimony. Jeremiah comes with a wonderful promise. He says, do you know, these are the words of God to you. I will write my law in their hearts. Does that sound like Jeremiah wanted? Well, you know what Jeremiah is doing. He wants the law of God to be among us and in us. Can you see? The prophets were reinforcing and urging people to Moses. That's what they were doing. In the Old Testament, there's one, well, I'll put it like this for now, one emphatic call of God to walk in his ways. And the people were thinking, well, perhaps Jesus Christ has come to set us free from all that. Oh, the burdens can be taken away. Well, listen to what Christ says to them now. This morning, I have only room, time to talk about two things that he says. Really, this is a really important passage of scripture. First of all, he says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to do that. Now, if you have your Bible open, or if you remember what I've read, you'll see how emphatic the Lord Jesus was about this point. He's talking, he says, not a jot nor a tittle of the law can pass away, or in Luke's account, not a jot or tittle of the law can fail. Now, you know, I'm sure you know that the word jot is the name of the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the modern word for tittle is the word serif. If you use a computer, you'll use fonts. Some fonts are called sans serif, which literally means without tittles. It's the little stroke, the last stroke of the pen that makes a difference, say, between the letter E and the letter C. The letter C is round, so is the letter E, but it curls in. Not a letter of the law will pass away. Not a letter will fail. And in Luke 16:17, he says this to them. I read it to you. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. See what he's saying? He said, before one stroke, one letter of the law passes away, this universe will go. You know, there are words like that in the Old Testament. Jeremiah particularly. Jeremiah says to the people on one occasion, he says, if you can break my covenant, this is God, if you can break my covenant with a day and night, and you think, yeah, can I do that? Could I break God's covenant with a day and night? In other words, can I stop the sun rising? Stop the sun setting? Can I change? No one can do that. If you can change day and night, he says, then my covenant with David, with the Levites, with Israel, or the house of Jacob, will fail. You see, what God gave his people, he does not intend to give up. And our Lord Jesus is saying this. See, don't imagine that I've come to sweep these things away. Now, if you know the mind of Christ, that won't surprise you at all. On Wednesdays, we've recently been studying Psalm 119. And we sang just now Psalm 1. And they both tell us the same thing. What is that same thing? That the mind of Christ, that Jesus Christ delighted in the law of God. And in that law, he meditates day and night. If you want to understand Christ, you'll never understand him unless you realize that he delighted in the law of God. And I ask you the question anyway, in any case, could you or I ever imagine that it would be right to break the Ten Commandments? What do you think? Is it ever going to be right that we have other gods and not our God? Is it ever going to be right that we think that we can make a model of God and worship that? A little graven image, was that ever going to be right? Is it ever going to be right to use his name in vain, to blaspheme him? Is it ever going to be right to cease to worship him on the day that he's appointed? Is it ever going to be right to dishonour our father and our mother? When will it be right to murder our neighbour? When will it be right to commit adultery or steal or tell lies in court or take or desire the possessions of a... When will it ever be right to break the law of God? The answer surely is never. Never. It's never going to be right to do these things. So that's the first thing that Jesus says. And this is important today because many, many Christians don't believe it. He did not come to destroy or to abolish the law or the prophets. But then, secondly, he says something else to them. And this may be more difficult to understand for us. But he says, look, he says, I did not come to destroy, right, we've seen that, but to fulfill. But to fulfill. And we ask the question, crucial question today, what does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said that he would fulfill the law? Okay? What did he mean? I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, first thing to say about this is that our Lord Jesus Christ did fulfill the law and the prophets by his own perfect obedience. everything that God commanded, the Lord Jesus Christ did. He did it fully. He did it with pure motives, out of pure love for God and for us. The Apostle Peter writes in his first letter about our Lord Jesus, he committed no sin, neither was there any guile or deceit found in his mouth. In other words, he lived righteously, he spoke truth. And we can go on and say, and all the instruction of Moses about how to worship God, all of that found its reality in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the high priest, he's the Lamb of God, he's the temple. It all comes to its, as it were, its climax in Christ. And we worship God in Christ. And I would go on to say this to you. Without the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the man, we cannot be saved. If he had not obeyed the law, then where would we find the robes of our righteousness? We are saved on the grounds of his obedience and his righteousness. And so we can say he fulfilled the law. But context, that's not what he meant here. As true as that is in Scripture, in this particular context, Jesus is talking about his teaching. He's teaching them what he is teaching. You see, they're asking the question, what is he teaching? What is this new doctrine? He says, let me tell you what my teaching is. When here he speaks about fulfilling the law, although what I said is true, absolutely true, here when he talks about fulfilling the law, he means that he is going to teach it in its fullness and in its depth. In other words, in his teaching, he is going to set before us the great reality of the commandments. Now, if you, well, God willing, we'll come on to it. But from verse 21 onwards in this passage, he starts to talk about the commandments. He starts to talk about, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. But you see what he's doing, don't you? You know, it's not just a matter of not killing someone. It comes down to hatred, despising someone. It's not just a matter of not, as it were, committing sexual acts with someone who is not your wife. It's that lust in your heart. It's what's going on inside you. And you see, Jesus Christ, this is what he means. In his teaching, he's going to show us what the real heart of the matter is. He's going to teach us. It's not just about not killing. It's about not hating. And then, no, it's about loving. And he goes on and says, yes, and you must love your enemies. And you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You see, Jesus Christ has come to teach the perfection of the law. Now, just here, I hope you've not missed what I've said thus far. You know, yes, he himself lived it. He lived it. But here, he himself was teaching it. Okay? And right at this point, our Lord Jesus Christ was showing them the difference between him and the scribes and Pharisees. Later in Matthew's Gospel, if we can come to that in chapter 15 and chapter 23 in particular, our Lord Jesus Christ challenges the scribes and Pharisees. He challenges them for being hypocrites. Why were they being hypocrites? Because they were concerned about the outward appearance of obedience. But there was no obedience in their hearts. He said to them on one occasion, you know, you're quibbling about tithing mint and this, that and the other. And you've neglected the weighty matters of mercy and justice. The heart of the matter. You see, he took on the scribes and Pharisees. They were very clever men. And they had a way of, as he says, they're justifying themselves. They had a way of persuading themselves and others that they were righteous. Oh, we're keeping the law. But they had all kinds of tricks, as it were, to really avoid the real point of the law. And he stands against that. He says, you hypocrites. You notice the word hypocrite in Matthew's Gospel. It's a terrible word. You're wearing the mask. You're pretending that you honour God, but all the time you're seeking to weaken. You don't let men honour their father and their mother. Why? Because they can make an offering to the Lord, and that, as it were, takes away the law. They took away the law. That's what they did. They took it away. They led people who listened to them straight into the mouth of hell. Now then, I must finish, but this way, look this way, this morning. I've looked at the way Jesus, our Lord Jesus, begins to teach now, and he corrects a false expectation in the minds of those who are listening to him. Oh, this new teaching, wonderful, wonderful, exciting new teaching. Perhaps he will take away from us the duty, the burden, the weight of the law, and those prophets. He says, no, I've not come to abolish that. I've come to fulfill it. And I said to you, although he personally did fulfill it, he also was teaching it in its truth, in its power, the heart of the matter, the depth and the perfection of the law of God. That was his teaching. If you like, he was reinforcing it with great strength. So we've got that far. But let me say to you before I finish that in history since then, there have been not a few occasions when men have come along and they have set aside the law of God. Some of you will know the name of a very early heretic called Marcion. Marcion, throughout the whole Old Testament, and also Matthew's Gospel, by the way, and was left with Paul's writings and Luke's Gospel, I think, something like that. Marcion, certainly abolished the law and the prophets, big time. But you know, why it's so important to us is that this is happening in the evangelical church around us today. I'm not a statistician and I haven't visited lots of evangelical churches, but I realise that in many evangelical churches, the law of God is being set aside. That's what's happening. From about the 1970s, forgive a little lesson in history, from the 1970s there was a new movement called New Covenant Theology. New Covenant Theology. And the essence of their New Covenant Theology was this. Now that we have Christ, we can get rid of the law. That's the truth. And that spirit, that's been like leaven in the evangelical churches, that has filtered through churches. And you might go there and say, they would say, we don't teach New Covenant Theology, but they practice it. And one of the great tragedies that's come from this is the neglect and the breaking of the Sabbath day. That's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. But they say, oh, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day anymore. They've swept it aside. And that has been to the great spiritual harm of Christians. Look, I know from my own experience, today there are Christians who will go to church for an hour this morning. But the rest of the day, what will they do? They'll go home, perhaps switch on the TV, off to the beach. Who knows? This, that, and anything. And you'll find in churches that in many churches the evening service has 10 or 15 people. Where are all the others? Oh, they don't have to keep the Sabbath day. 1 hour is enough, they say. That's all we need. But can you see the spiritual damage that's being done? The Sabbath day, God has given us the Sabbath day, not like a little terrible rule to keep. It was a great blessing where His presence is open. We can pray. We can feed our souls on His word. The Sabbath day used to be called the market day of the soul. It's when you can come and buy not tins of beans and loaves of bread and barbecue stuff. It's the day when we can come and get the nourishment we need to persevere in the Christian life. Look, we need God's grace. We need the ministry of His Holy Spirit. We need His word. And it's on this day that He has given us the freedom from all other things to come and feed on Christ and feed on Him. Well, and it's not just that either. I won't trouble you this morning with all the full damage that's being done to Christians today. Young people are growing up and their parents are saying, well, just play board games today. Or revise for your exams next week. Anything that will take them away from the Lord. It's all devastating. New covenant theology defies Christ's teaching. I did not come to abolish, He says, but to fulfill. Now, I must stop. There is more to be said about this, but for the moment, let's just take His teaching. He came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And I do pray that as Jesus Christ delighted in the law of God, I pray that you and I will too. We'll look tonight, God willing, we'll look at the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the great works of the Holy Spirit, to teach a child of God, to enable him to love and to desire to do what God has asked him to do. Amen.